WBRB UK. Worse teeth, better accents.
Hello, hello, and indeed ahoy hoy, and thank you to Coleman Soundboard. Welcome to episode 588. I'm Dan, this is BRB UK.
Dan.
Welcome to the show. Yes, thank you, Alan, for that as well. And, Coleman's there, obviously. We've got a sleep-deprived Coleman, which means he's even more cantankerous than usual. Doesn't
I've been
it?
Up since five.
Yeah.
Dan!
Yep, and man, we can tell.
Are you the caffeine keeping him awake now? That's it.
Yes, caffeine.
Tim, say hello before this goes places we don't want it to go.
Hello.
Hello. You all right?
Yeah. How are you this week? All good?
Not too bad. Right. Coleman seeing things. This is very good. If you're watching on the live stream, you can see Coleman have a full mental breakdown due to a lack of sleep and possibly things. It's good. Yeah, it's hot. Oh, God, Coleman.
Oh.
Hmm.
Extreme close-up
I
for
do.
His full metal jacket, full mental breakdown.
Yeah, exactly. I kind of do wonder, you know, we've put a lot of eggs in one basket by having Coleman being in control of all the buttons and the things. And, you know, he's, you know, with great power comes great responsibility, but, you know, it's Coleman and he loves chaos and he hasn't blinked the past 3.5 minutes. So I am concerned with how this
hours.
Show might go. Right. Anyway, with that. Everyone had good. Everyone had a nice week, apart from today, which sucked, obviously. Yeah,
I've been back home. I've been to Gosport.
You've been been up the Pompey. Is that where you've been?
Well,
up
no. Pompey was last week. I went to Gosport.
Right. Okay,
Pompey adjacent.
Okay.
Nice.
I'm sure there's a joke in there somewhere. I cannot be bothered to rummage around.
No jokes.
Yeah. Okay.
No jokes to be found in the South Coast. We're very serious folk.
Yes, we certainly are.
Damn!
Right. This intro section's just gone even worse than it usually does. So I think we should probably move on.
Yeah.
For everyone concerned. Should we go to Tim first? Because he's the only one out of us who's played a game. Me and Coleman have watched things that are game adjacent. A bit like Gosport is to Pompey.
Horsford adjacent.
Yeah, exactly.
Isle of Wight adjacent.
Oh, well.
Game adjacent.
Managed to bring that all together. I can complete a hat trick of things we have watched that is game adjacent because I have watched the same game adjacent thing that you have watched.
Okay, well, but first, Tim, we need to talk about actual game that you have played.
And I will point out that I've only played a little bit because this came out on Tuesday. We're recording on Thursday. And as we all know, I do something every Tuesday. We'll come to that later in the show. I got to play a bit of Harold Halibut, which came out
on... He likes
on,
to take Captain Picard.
Which came out on Game Pass this week. It's taken 11 years to get here. It's one I've been looking forward to for a bit, mainly because of the kind of stop motion style animation. I wanted to see how that came across. And yeah, it looked like a kind of interesting premise. And the setup generally is that you are, you were a kind of a colony ship that went away from Earth when Earth was coming to its demise. And you set up, I think...
So about a week on Tuesday, then.
I think you set out, it was 120 years before the demise, and then 120 years into your thing, Earth actually kind of, demises somehow. They didn't exactly specify how so far. But then the ship that you're on is supposed to go and find a new planet to colonize. They come along to the planet, and everything's not quite as they were hoping. The atmosphere is kind of toxic. The ship gets into some trouble and then crashes. And now you're in a underwater, not quite city, because it's a connection, like a loose connection of various environments. And there seems to be bits of the ship that have broken up and been made into habitats and labs and shop areas and stuff like that. And to get between the different environmental bits, you're going through a tube system, as they call it, where it's literally, yeah, kind of get covered in water and fired between the two different sections. Doesn't exactly specify exactly how that works either, but that's the general kind of loose setup. And you are the titular character, Harold Halibut, who's a kind of handyman that's kind of tasked with various menial tasks of keeping things clean, keeping fish fed, and, yeah, other little things that you do throughout the environment to kind of keep things ticking over.
Is the fish feeding conducive as to why he's called Harold Halibut?
Just an unfortunate name.
Yeah, I think it's just, you know, a mere coincidence.
I'm called Coleman Petrol Station.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
And
yeah,
Dan's called Dr. Dan.
Yep. Dr. Dan.
Dan is actually my surname, you're correct.
Yes, correct.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's the kind of loose premise. And as I said, the animation style kind of was the thing that attracted me to that. And it looks really good in trailers. I'm not so sure it looks quite as impressive in motion in game.
So I have a question here, Tim.
Yep.
I have a question here because, you know, when I watched this in trailers, a bit of me kind of wondered, huh, is that, so for those of you who haven't seen it, it's like kind of stop motion claymation, Tim said.
Yeah.
Very kind of reminiscent of, you know, I think we saw this in like the mid-90s with a lot of games, and a bit of me almost expected it to be, right, is it actually kind of pre-rendered stuff, a bit like the claymation stuff from that time? But that actually looks like...
Clay Fighters and Skull Monkeys and Rampage, I think it was going to be one of them, but they changed
exactly.
It.
All that stuff. This looks like it's kind of, they've recreated that look, but actually in a kind of a 3D game engine. So does it kind of still have that really nice aesthetic to it, or as you're hinting at, does it not quite nail the landing on that?
It does to an extent, and it's not a one-to-one. It's not quite like I remember that kind of claymation type stuff, but it does have that kind of hint to it as well. But I don't understand what the technical difference is between what they did in you know, those mid-90s or early mid-90s sort of times with Clay Fighter and all those other things, and how this differs and why this took them the 11 years to develop. And I don't know if this is accurate, but to me it comes across as this is someone that knows animation and approached it from an animation type perspective, but doesn't necessarily or hasn't necessarily made games before. And I don't know if that's necessarily true, but that's how the game comes across to me, basically.
Can I take a crack at what I think they've done? Because so in the 90s, the whole idea was rotoscoping.
Yes.
So with claymation, you photo frame by frame by frame by frame.
Yeah.
That's the frame animation by moving something painstakingly slow. In video games, it was moving them into all different kinds of positions and then using them, you know, like in rotoscoping, like you would in Mortal Kombat, the old version. This looks more like akin to the Lego movie, where they've made the clay models, scanned them, and then graphed them onto 3D models.
Yeah.
And then, and I don't know if that's the same as the backdrop around them, or because that's kind of what they did with Lego. They scanned all these Lego bricks and then plastered them onto textures in computers so they looked real. And I'm assuming it's something similar to that.
Yeah, as I said,
which would also be a painstaking process.
Yes, I don't know the technical side of things. That does seem like, from what I understand, that does seem accurate, but I don't know that that's definitely the case or not, basically. I might do a bit of reading up on it and see if that, you know, that kind of can be educated a bit more on it, basically.
It kind of looks like essentially what they've done is I think it's all rendered in real time. So I think what they've done is kind of, like you said, Coleman, kind of really just scanned actual 3D, kind of actual clay models, and then kind of almost on computer kind of really replicate the kind of the craft of stop motion anime. Mm. So it's new age fun with a vintage feel. That's what it is.
But it does this thing that I haven't seen in video games for a while, and I don't know if limitation of what they've done. But you know where you kind of you get to a particular scene and you press something to kind of start a conversation or start a section of animations that are related to you interacting with an object. And it needs to reposition the character into an exact place before it will start that cutscene or before it will kick right. that animation off. And so I don't know where the limitations of the animation style that they're doing and how that kind of interacts. And as I said, it may be an unkind thing to say that it seemed like they haven't necessarily made a video game before, but it comes across and it seems like they're making mistakes that other people have conquered it already when making video games, basically, kind of thing. And I'll explain that a little bit more. Basically, some of the setup and stuff like that. Okay, you're doing menial tasks and it's a bit mundane and the whole thing is a bit like, so it's kind of setting you in a setting where this is an ordinary thing and you're a very ordinary person. But what that translates into is the gameplay is a bit boring. Everything's quite slow and deliberate. And I don't know if that's a limitation of the animation style as well, but everything seems very slow and very deliberate. Even when you're running, it feels like you're running through treacle a little bit type of thing. And I said, this is the first like hour and a half or so of the game that I've played. So, you know, it comes with that caveat. Also, the other caveat I should mention is I think the part of the appeal of this game is the animation style. And I don't know if I'm getting the best of that on the Series S, which is where I've been playing it. And I don't know if this would look a bit more graphically impressive on the X or PlayStation 5 or PC. But for me, as I said, the animation doesn't look quite as impressive as I thought it would do when playing it, as I saw in trailers. And then I think that takes away a little bit from the overall appeal of the game. But then I'm kind of curious about the wider story, and the kind of initial setup is they're sending up a boy to the surface because you're below the surface underwater, and they're setting up a boy to the surface to see what's up there. And I'm like, but you've been here for years. Why wasn't that one of the first things you did, kind of thing? But that seems to be the general kind of like clue and like exactly how you're going there. And it seems like there'll be some sort of twist or surprise as to exactly what's going on, whether you came back to Earth and crashed on Earth or whether, I don't know exactly where that's going with the major story. And it's kind of intrigued me a little bit, but I don't know if it's intrigued me enough to get through the kind of plodding menial kind of gameplay to see that payoff of the story.
Because one of the criticisms I've heard as well is that a lot of the stuff you do is actually just fetch quest after fetch quest after fetch quest, and there actually isn't a lot of variety in what you're doing, and that coupled with the slightly, perhaps by design, plodding pace of the game, it feels like more of a slog than it should. Is do you feel that's a fair criticism?
Yeah, and there's a kind of PDA system you can come up, and it brings you up a list of to-do tasks.
What, public displays of affection? 1, fondle Marge. 2.
But it kind of comes up with like a literal to-do list, but it'll be like, go and see this bloke and do something, and it's like, but where is that person? Like, and sometimes it tells you, and other times it just doesn't, and it just seems a bit inconsistent with the level of information it gives you. So you're like, okay, I saw this guy here, so I'll go back to see him in the same place, and he's not in the same place. And people
Gosh,
walk around,
darn it.
And that's the thing. But it just takes a little bit too long to get around and do things and do so. And it sounds like I'm being very negative, and I don't hate it, but I don't love it as much as I thought I would do. And I don't know if that's because the animation isn't singing to me as much as I thought it would from what I saw in previews and stuff, basically. But
So is it kind of feel a bit style over substance? What is that kind of what you're feeling here? There's only so much the whimsy can keep the whole thing going, because it does look like a game that likes to be whimsical.
Yes, but that would imply that it was... I don't need to be laughing my head off every second, but it's not very funny so far either. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing that's really made me...
I didn't know it was meant to be a comedy.
Chuckle.
Not going to lie.
Well, Howl Talbot doesn't sound like the most sensible name, does it? You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't sound...
Yeah,
like,
fair enough.
You know what I mean? Like, But that's what I'm saying. It's trying to be funny with that name, and I don't think that name's particularly funny. I mean, like, it's you get the joke a bit more when they're underwater and they're surrounded by fish, and there seems to be this weird thing where fish are, like, carrying signs around warning you about things, and, like, there's some it seems to be some mystery with that. So, like I said, there's some weird setup, and there's definitely something going on that I'm semi-intrigued by, but I'm just... I don't think I'll be rushing back to finish the game. To the whole thing seems to me like I would enjoy it more as an animation if it was a bit funnier, perhaps, than I do as a game as well, kind of thing. So
right, so you say it's a great animation that sadly happens to have a game shoehorned into it. That kind of
yeah, almost. As I said, a lot of that sounds more overly negative than I generally feel. Like it's fine. But it's just not the highs I thought I was going to get from it, basically. I'm very glad it's on Game Pass and I haven't paid for it, put it this way, because I think I'd be a bit worse if I had paid for it. I'm glad
so
I tried.
So this is priced just under £30, although there is a discount at the moment if you're a PlayStation Plus subscriber or if you're getting it through Steam and it's on Game Pass, like you said. But yeah, I just looking at it, I don't think I'd be... This doesn't scream £30 game to me.
No. What does it scream at you, Coleman? Why, 15, God, why? Is that
15,
what it screams
£20
at you?
Why, God,
15,
why?
£20, I think. Yep. But yeah, I don't know. With Claymation, immediately I think Wallace and Gromit, and I don't particularly find like Wallace and Gromit hilarious. It's more the charming aspect to it that
whimsy.
I enjoy.
But so Wallace and Gromit is quite funny
assume
in places,
that from,
and I haven't
oh,
seen
yeah,
anything.
But, at the same time, that's something that I enjoy in shorts form and not in the... Like, they made a movie and I didn't enjoy the movie because I felt it outstays its welcome after the length of a short. And the same with the Wallace and Gromit Telltale game. And so I'm assuming this might have that kind of problem. Also, because you might have fallen for the same trick that I did, because I was really excited for a game called Armacrog, which was a point-and-click claymation kickstarted game back in 2015. And I can't remember if it didn't get its full funding or they just ran out of money, but they didn't finish the game and just released it with storyboards in places instead of the full claymation. And so I was super excited for this thing to come out. And then when it finally did come out, it's like, it's kind of boring. not what I was expecting.
Yeah, as I said, I don't hate it. It's more average than terrible, but
I kind of feel
bad that someone put 11 years of their life into something that feels quite average. Like, and I would be annoyed if I had spent £30 on it, basically.
I'm probably going to give this a go. I've been meaning to re-up my Game Pass and try a few games, but I'll probably give this one a go because I do like that style. I'm always interested in different animation techniques and things and different types of games. And this does look like one of those kind of cozy games I'd enjoy, you know, if not too strenuous. Something for a lazy weekend day.
Didn't talk about it when it came out previously because we were too busy in the week, but I tried a little game called Return to Grace on Game Pass.
Oh, I've played that as well to completion. It's good game, that.
Yeah,
I quite liked it.
I like that more than I like this, I think, overall, basically, when that came out of nowhere for me. But yeah, like that was kind of Bioshock-esque without the combat kind of thing. So you're solving puzzles in an environment where there's a abandoned AI and stuff. I won't go on about it too much, but yeah, I recommend that over this.
That's unlike you.
Yeah.
Famous last words. Well, I believe we've all been watching. Well, are you all right there, Dan? Can you mess
I am. Well, I'm trying to do a thing. Don't mind me.
Okay. We won't mind you.
Please don't mind me.
Just put your phone on the screen, Dan. Can see you messing around.
Anyway.
There we go.
All right, I see.
That's fine.
Dan's getting ready for Please Stand By. Yes, we have all been watching, I believe, the new Fallout TV show streaming show that's available on Amazon Prime.
Can I just say something straight out the gate?
No.
Yes.
Adverts. Amazon.
Oh, yeah, they added adverts to Amazon Prime.
This is the first thing I've gone back to Amazon for since they did that. But hey.
Yep, me too. Yeah.
I'm not too bothered. I heard a load of people complaining, and they didn't pop up for me for a bunch of stuff that I watched. And then I think episode 5 of Fallout, they suddenly popped up. So
And you've got all five episodes worth of adverts in one go.
Well, I mean, they've always been kind of forcing the trailers and stuff before movies and TV shows. Now they're just sticking adverts on there, so I don't know.
I see, not so much if it was topped and tailed, but when you get an advert for something completely just nothing to do with Fallout, a complete tonal whiplash, it slightly destroys the narrative. I found it did anyway. Anyway,
this is not a review of Amazon Prime. This is a review of Fallout, the streaming show.
Ooh, adverts. Ooh, anyway.
Every streaming show's service is doing it now, sticking adverts in by the looks of it. Anyway, Fallout. I really, really like it. I can't remember if it was 4 or 5. But I really enjoy this. And I will preface, because when we were, I think the last time we were seriously talking about Fallout, not just mocking Fallout 76, was Fallout 4, which I was trying because I kind of skipped over 3 because it had deviated so far away from Fallout 1 and 2 style that I enjoyed. But I'm not the hugest Fallout fan. But I really, really got along with this. However, I will watch anything that's got Walton Goggins in it because I really enjoy that actor.
Yeah. He's
who plays
really
the ghoul
this.
In this one.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people seem to have that as a takeaway.
Yeah. I mean, like you, Carmen, I think I quite got into Fallout 3. Fallout 4, I kind of found there was a bit too much busy work in it for my liking. But there's something I really like about the kind of the setup of the Fallout universe. Yes. That whole kind of retro future vibe is always quite cool, but kind of the pockets of humanity rediscovering one another are kind of as they emerge squinting from the underground vaults that they had to retreat into. And you know, I really quite like how they really lean into like the kitsch aspect and the kind of the saccharine sweet life in a kind of a vault, which is meant to be like, this is what humanity should be like, versus the harsh reality of kind of the post-apocalyptic. It looks like they're somewhere in Santa Monica, I think, is where Vault 33 is.
Yes.
I think they've done that really, really, really
California.
Well.
Yeah, that's one of the aspects I really like of the idea of Fallout, that each of the games is in a different part of the US. I remember like the big hype being about what was it, Boston for Fallout 4. But yeah, I always like that idea. And then it's kind of the because different parts of the US, they kind of celebrate different parts of US history. It seems if you go to Philadelphia, it's all about the Liberty Bell. If you go to Boston, it's all about like the uprising, Boston Tea Party kind of stuff. This one's California, so rightly so. There's a lot of kind of movie stuff around it.
The
ghoul being an actor that was irradiated, a kind of cowboy western actor. So because of that, there's a lot of cowboy western stuff going along around them to do with like the bounty hunters and stuff around that area.
Yeah, cowpoke you.
Yeah, cowpoke.
But I mean, I really think they've got the tone of it.
Yeah,
absolutely bang on. And it doesn't, I mean, there's a couple of, I think, stylistic nods to certainly in some of the locales they go to, which, although this is notionally on like the West Coast, I think there's some stuff that certainly the town they feature in the early episodes feels very akin to like one of the main settlements of Fallout 4,
Megaton, stuff like that.
But I think they've done corking job, and I think the setup of Fallout, where there's these pockets of humanity that have kind of it exists fairly separately from one another, actually does them a huge favor here, because it doesn't mean they have to be that slavish in terms of plot, or certainly the fine bits of the plot, the source material tree. You've still got like the Brotherhood of Steel, the Enclave, that kind of stuff. But I think it what makes it work is they're allowed to have enough artistic freedom for it still to feel like this is an Fallout universe, rather than having to slavishly shoehorn things in from the source material.
Well, one of the main differences is the fact that there's 3 vaults that are linked up, and that's not something that I haven't encountered that in the Fallout universe before. And I don't know if there was other dual ones or whatever, but definitely never seen 3 that kind of interact with each other. But the thing that we know from the games that seems to be true is that as much as Vault-Tec was kind of set up and kind of run to give rich people a habitat to kind of survive the nuclear holocaust in, they were also experimenting on people in those environments as well. So each different vault tends to have a slightly different experiment going on. And I've only watched half the series so far, so I don't know how far through you guys are yet. But from what I've seen so far, at least, they haven't really kind of done exactly what the experiment is in the vault that we're in yet. I don't know if we get more answers on that as we go later into the series. But it could just be the fact that the experiment here is what happens if we have three vaults that interact with each other every now and again. And I don't know if that's part of the experiment of what's going on. I really like the way they've set that up, though, and the fact that they've got a bit of mysteries going on in Vault 33 and how it interacts with Vault 32 and what was going on there and stuff like that. As you say, I think they've captured the feel of the universe very well. It's done by Jonathan Nolan, I think it is, that did Westworld. And I think that gave him a good setting. I did see an excerpt from an interview where he said that when he was making Westworld, he played Fallout 4 to give him a feel of video games. And that's one of the things that, and I think that's kind of one of the things that attracted him to doing Fallout as another project as well, basically. So yeah, just thought that was kind of an interesting little tidbit as well. But you can tell that he knows and appreciates the universe and the source material. That kind of comes through in the production as well.
Well, if I know the Westworld TV show, and I think I know a little bit, that means this show has a good lifespan of about 2 to 3 seasons and then
there
stop.
We go.
But for this one, it's really good. And I love these video game adaptations we're getting lately. Like, we've just had this, we had The Last of Us, Cyberpunk TV show. I heard really good things about the League of Legends TV show, the cartoon, and the Mario movie. Like, we're doing really good for movie adaptations
it's
lately.
It's the golden age
of TV shows.
Yeah, video game adaptations in TV and cinema as well. So yeah, it's good.
I look forward to the inevitable Destiny transmedia product coming in at precisely the wrong time and being a terrible thing for all involved. Damn it, Bungo!
They've got a department for Destiny projects outside of media, and that can't all just be Fortnite skins. So.
Damn it, Bungo!
The only problem with that is, Dan, they'd have to put some story in it, so they're not very good at doing that.
Well, there is quite a lot of story going on. I won't, don't make speak Destiny at you, Tim, because I will. There's actually quite a lot of story there. Just perhaps don't surface it in a way that slaps you around the face with
it. It's on a website somewhere, yeah.
It's now in game, to be fair. Admittedly buried in menus. You like menus.
Oh,
you
menus.
You'd love it.
He loves menus.
You find it in a menu. You'd love it.
It's got his attention.
There's scrolling. A couple of button clicks. I know.
But yeah, also just bringing back to Fallout and also video games. I don't know if you guys have done the same, but there has been a massive uptick in the amount of people that are playing Fallout games, which is no surprise when it's really good and has been very well received as a TV series. That's translating to that. I think they were quite well prepared in that regard as well. Like, they've announced recently that the Fallout 4 is getting Fallout 4 versions of Fallout 4 are getting updates for next gen consoles, or current gen as it is now. But that kind of makes sense, and that's in the pipeline. But then also, PlayStation and Xbox have both got a little section on their consoles at the moment. They're like, here are all the Fallout games. And I don't know about you guys, but I downloaded Fallout New Vegas because that's one of the few that I've never played that people talk about very highly.
I mean, when it doesn't crash, it's great. But it crashes of the time.
Because when Fallout 76 was being complained about a lot, I was playing through Fallout again on GOG. And then, was it GOG or Epic? I think it was Epic, actually. No, it was GOG. And this isn't important. But then when the TV show came out, I was like, oh yeah, I installed Fallout 4 onto my Steam Deck and just haven't started getting back into it. So I started playing it again and went, oh, this crashes a lot. But with the update, the upcoming update for the PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X and S, there is a PC patch that's coming as well. And there's meant to be Steam Deck optimization as well, which is
Yeah, it's going to be verified for Steam Deck finally. I mean, I
think it's already, isn't it already verified? I thought it was already verified, but this is meant to, there's a lot of optimized Steam Deck games that don't run well on Steam Deck. I thought this was one of them.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
It may well be that I think the verified on Steam Deck doesn't necessarily mean runs well on Steam Deck. I think loads of
things. It runs well, but it means I have to go right, three steps and quick save. Three steps, quick save. Three steps, quick
it's
save.
The,
just
it's
in case.
The Fallout experience. I mean, I might dip back in. I might give Fallout 4 a decent go again, because it's one of those games that I've always got a couple of hours into, and then I've just kind of fallen off it when all the settlement building nonsense starts kicking off. I was like,
that really turned me off. I really didn't like it, but I think you can mainly ignore that. No, like
you can.
Just try and do that. But to me, I
kind of think I'll always kind of remember the golden days of Fallout 3, and I'm not sure how well that would stand up in this day and age. But there is, in terms of Fallout things you can get, if you're a Prime subscriber, you can get Fallout 76 for free. You can get a game code. Ooh. I think it's a base version, both for PC and for Xbox as well. That's not part of Game Pass. That's you get the game.
Yeah.
Whether or not you'll actually get any joy out of Fallout 76 is an entirely different thing altogether. Kev has been trying to convince me to give it a go.
Apparently,
skeptical.
It's very good now.
Yeah,
a lot of people say.
I can't remember if it was four or if it was three or if it was New Vegas. But they're also giving away that. But the downside is you have to play it on Amazon Luna.
Yeah, those are both 3 and 76 are on Luna. I kind of want to see if Fallout New Vegas can actually crash all of AWS as a result of it being a janky mess.
But it's all on Game Pass, so that's where I've accessed New Vegas for free, which, you know, that's good. It's also quite cheap on PlayStation 5 at the moment as well. I think Fallout 4 is like the base game without all the additions is like £4, and all of the DLCs on sale as well. So
it sounds worth getting them.
I pre-ordered, like you, Dan, I loved 3 and didn't like 4. I pre-ordered the Pip-Boy edition and ended up taking that in for trade-in.
We remember your giant hunk of plastic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember you sitting on your sofa wearing your Master Chief helmet and your Pip-Boy on your arm. They're an investment!
I reckon I could have sold that for more money now.
I remember when I finally saw your Pip-Boy, and I was like, I'm so glad that like the system crashed and I didn't get one, because it looked so cheap and horrible. It was like a Fisher
Price
toy.
My phone didn't fit in it properly.
So shiny.
Yeah, it was really disappointing. Yeah.
Although the chrome Pip-Boy props in the show look pretty awesome, I have to tell
you. Yeah, they look great.
So I'm sure those will be nickel
and
dime.
I'm glad I didn't buy a Starfield watch.
Well, I was watching it with my girlfriend, and the bit with the Pip-Boy, when you see the Pip-Boy for the first time, I started laughing because I was like, Tim had one of them. I had to explain the whole thing to her. Anyway, we might as well jump forward in the news a bit, because this links into what we're just talking about, and that's Fallout London, which is highly anticipated. It's a mod for Fallout 4 that's going to run through Steam.
Thanks for the shout out of asking us to do voiceovers, by the way, chaps. Just saying.
This has been delayed indefinitely. This was meant to come out on the 23rd of April, and they did not know, like many people, that the Fallout 4 new patches and stuff and the PC patches is going to happen. So new patches on PC have a tendency to break Bethesda games, so they've had to delay the game the mod indefinitely until they can figure out what's going on. This is, when I say a mod that's like DLC, that's because this game apparently has a map of London that's the same size as the map in Fallout 4 of Boston. So it's quite a big one.
Yeah,
it's
really
actually, I think it's currently running in about 30 to 40 gigabytes, which is bigger than any mod is allowed to be hosted on Nexus. So this is actually being hosted on good old gaming, GOG, which is quite funny that they've had to do that. But It looks really cool. I'm hoping it doesn't get delayed too long because I've been looking forward to giving this one a try. Because you stick London on, so, or you stick anywhere in England in a video game, and I'm going to want to try it out.
And it is quite cool. I mean, a lot of it seems kind of very centered on like the obviously central London and kind of the city of London. Certainly, that's where I spent a lot of my uni days. So it is always quite cool seeing the places you recognise, given a bit of a post-apocalyptic makeover.
Well, there's also a shot where you see a ruined Camden lock sign as well. So yeah. There's a bit of local Camden just down the road as well. Like, that would be quite cool to see. Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm not feeling the loss quite as much because it's only really going to be on PC, so I won't really be able to access it. But it's a shame because they put a lot of work into it. So
you can play, outside mods on the Xbox Series X and S and Xbox One, but you can't on the PlayStation consoles because they don't allow importing of outside content. They go and let you like remix internal content. The problem is with this, it's too big for a console.
Yeah.
So you can't play this one, unfortunately, unless you're playing it on PC.
That is a shame.
That's a shame. We might as well link that to Lawbreakers. If you remember Cliff Bleszinski's Lawbreakers, it was quite heavily hyped and it did really well in the preview circles. And then when it came out, nobody played it. So
was it because they left a lot of the media work to Cliff Bleszinski, which therefore might have had a negative impact on people wanting to play the thing?
I don't think that was the case. I just think that it was an oversaturated market.
Oh, okay. I'm just being glib.
Yeah.
I think that it was an oversaturated market, which was mainly taken by Overwatch at the time. So even though this was proving very fun, just no one wanted to play it. And I think as well, because it came out on PC first and then came to consoles, whereas Overwatch did the everything all at once model, that kind of might have had an issue there as well.
I also think part of the problem was the fact that they tried to position it as being like, for the hardcore and for being, you know, like for real gamers type thing. And I don't know. I think it just rubbed people up the wrong way and put a few people off playing it. So
if you're watching the trailer that we're playing on the video version of the podcast at the moment, that came with the hashtag skilled AF, which, as the kids say, is pretty cringe.
Yes.
Mm.
Hey,
yes.
I'll have you know, I think that's pretty dope, you crazy mofo.
Oh, Dan, you're such a boomer.
I am. Damn it.
Anyway, yes, sorry. So this got pulled, unfortunately, and there's now a fan project to bring this up called Releb, R-E-L-B. And this is basically, if you own the game on Steam, I think, and you run this, you can now play multiplayer online matches. However, this isn't official. This is owned... it's not Bosky that owns it anymore, is it? It's someone else who owns it. This isn't endorsed by the current publishers who own the rights to Lawbreakers. However, it is endorsed by Cliff Bleszinski, who doesn't own he doesn't own it whatsoever.
Well, do you know what?
The current publishers said they're not going to do anything with it, and that's annoyed Cliff Bleszinski, I think. So that's why he's, I think, happy to throw his support behind this.
He's been begging them to do something with this.
But on the bright side for the people in the community who are making this happen, it also means that the company who owns it aren't going to do anything. That means that hopefully they're going to be allowed to have their fun.
Hopefully. Here's a nice quick one.
Please.
So we were talking about video game adaptations, thanks to Fallout, the TV show. Have you guys been privileged enough to check out Sonic the Hedgehog the movie or Sonic the Hedgehog the movie 2?
I have heard of such televisual feasts. Yes.
Okay, I've seen like both, and I'm looking forward to the Knuckles TV show coming to Paramount Plus.
Okay.
But also, there is a Sonic the Hedgehog 3 movie in the works.
Were you at gunpoint when you
works.
Said that? Yes, Paramount Plus. You should watch all of the things on Paramount Plus.
It's a mountain of crap.
I said it. Please give me back my kids. I said it.
Have any kids?
Return them. Anyway, there is a third movie in the works, and as teased in Sonic the Hedgehog 2, it will feature Shadow the Hedgehog.
Ooh.
And in a bit of perfect casting.
Yep.
Keanu Reeves will be voicing Shadow the Hedgehog.
Good old Keanu.
I think that's genius.
That is genius.
Yes. So you can look forward to seeing that 20th of December. No, nice. Do you remember the first one was launching Valentine's Day? That was good.
Right, yes. Yeah.
We were meant to have a three-way BRB UK Valentine's Day date to watch Sonic the Hedgehog.
Don't use the word three-way ever again, please, Colman. Unfortunately,
the way of the world may have stopped us doing that, but... Christmas date. Three-way Christmas date. Sonic the Hedgehog 3.
I say this with love, Colman, okay?
Yeah. Sonic the Hedgehog 3.
I am never having a three-way with you, okay?
Sonic the Hedgehog 3-way, just as Tim said. Got a title.
We've obviously now got Idris Elba and Keanu Reeves. Who did the voice of Sonic? I can't remember.
Ben Schwartz.
Okay, right. That's why I didn't stick in my mind, because I have no idea who he is. Oh, he's fine, but I just don't remember who he was.
I can't remember who voiced Tails, but I think it was one of the actors who voices Tails in the video games.
But Ben Schwartz, not in Cyberpunk 2077, just to be clear, yeah?
Yes.
Right. Just because Idris Elba and Keanu Reeves are, is what I was pointing out. So, yeah.
Okay. There was a Nintendo Indie World Showcase yesterday as we're recording now. Tomorrow as the show goes out. I didn't find much that I was interested in, but I wanted to know if you did.
I thought there was some high points. Like, it wasn't... Not everything hit. Maybe just the fact that I have a cat recently, which has appeared on the show, mainly her tail. But the little kitty Big City did look fun. That was the thing they kicked off with. I kind of liked the look of that. That kind of looked cute. It kind of looked very much like, yeah, people that know cats making a game about cats. And yeah, that kind of intrigued me. Cat being lost in, it looked like Tokyo. I don't know if they necessarily said that, but it looked possibly, I don't know. But
This game is you're a cat perched on a balcony, and then you're sleeping and you fall off, and then you're lost in the city and you have to kind of find your way around. It's basically the cutesier version of, was it Stray?
Stray. But with
we need to know if there's a dedicated meow button.
Yes.
Or is it actually, being in Japan, is it Katamari Damacy?
No doubt. See, that's where Katamari. You need the Metal Gear Solid Dan thing.
Katamari
when he dies. Just died. But it looks fun, it looks cutesy. As I said, it may have been more interest to me because cats. But yeah, that was interesting. Yars Rising, I haven't talked about
that's
this
so
in the
funny.
Show, but I bought a Atari 2600 Plus, so I literally played Yars Revenge like last week.
It's an investment, Dan.
It's an investment.
God. He's just spoken about it, so now it's an investment.
Yeah, see? Content.
Content.
No, but part of the reason I bought that is
he can file his expenses.
It's tax actually deductible. Plays existing carts, and I've still got a load of existing carts, and I've still got my old console, but I lost the power cable for it, so I can't actually use my existing 2600, and that takes the old cart. So anyway. But yeah, but Yars Revenge was of more interest to me. The only thing is that they didn't show much in the way of gameplay. Like, well, they did show a little bit, but yeah, not sure. Not sure about the
gameplay. It
looks
a bit Metroid-y. Wants to be a bit Metroid-y, I think.
I think it looks a bit arse.
I have to say, to use a Coleman phrase, it looks a bit bobbins.
It took me, I think I stole that from Tim. It took me a while when I was watching, because I was kind of watching this on my phone while I was doing stuff, and then I did not click until I saw the shape of the character. Went, oh, it's Yars Revenge. How did I not get that?
Yeah.
That feels so weirdly forced.
But it's a game that I never had that much love for anyway. And I misspoke. I said that there wasn't much gameplay, but what I meant is I didn't think much of the gameplay, basically. Like, gotcha. So it was intriguing me that they're remaking it, and I'll keep half an eye on it, but not that interested.
Yeah.
I'll give you one that I liked the look of, and that was Anton Blast. which looks like it's going to be a Wario style, really difficult platformer, which, yeah, it's the devil and he's angry. And I like a big shouting character.
It reminded me of something else, another kind of animated style, and I can't think of what it was.
It reminds me of, Super Wario and Wario Woods and all those kind of games. But it also reminds me of, I think it was from Sega, there was an arcade live game called Hell Yeah, Wrath of the Dead Rabbit or something, where you were like a skeleton of a rabbit in hell. And it's got that frantic, colorful style to it that I really like, but more pixel style this time around. I actually like the look of this one. I think that'd be a good Steam Deck game. Or Switch. You know, coming to Switch.
Bearing in mind, this is Nintendo. They're probably not...
Nintendo Indie World Showcase.
Steam Deck is what you want.
I can quite comfortably say I'm not buying any more Switch games until there's a new Switch.
Yeah, that's correct shout.
I'll fall just short of that, though. I'm cautious of buying many more Switch games before we know how they'll progress forward to a new Switch. Like, if I can play all existing games I buy now on a new Switch and they tell us about that in advance, I will be more keen to buy more games. Whereas otherwise, like you say, I'll be a bit more wary of buying anything else on the Switch at the moment.
Because there isn't so many big releases on the Switch kind of defaulted to my indie machine. But when the Steam Deck came along, I do literally wipe dust off of my Switch every time I go past it.
I mean, there were a couple of things. I mean, I think the thing that kind of grabbed my attention, and, you know, this is just because I particularly like these games, is I'm glad to see that there's going to be a SteamWorld Heist 2. I really enjoyed
That was the big standout for me as well, I think.
Yeah, and that's... I'm not sure if...
They don't usually do sequels, do they? Is this the first time?
Yeah, they do.
There's a SteamWorld Dig 2, wasn't there?
Right, okay, that was the first one. But this is my favorite of all the games, I think, of all the Steam.
Yeah, it's because it's like kind of a turn-based strategy game, but with a kind of 2D platformy kind of feel. So it's something a bit different. I quite liked it.
Good fun
game. Again, full of whimsy. That seems to be what I'm sponsored by.
Whimsy. But this time you can actually go out in the open world and blast things with your submarine as well. So
the open sea.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Yes, open sea.
Yes.
Because I think the previous one was in space.
Yes, and this seems a bit more piratey, which, you know, it was kind of a bit space piratey.
Don't start him off, Tim.
No.
Can you do that with a more robot inflection, though?
Yar.
Okay, that was underwater robot inflection, I guess. Why did you kick that noise off? Was that accidental?
But because you wouldn't steal a car.
Pirate music.
Right.
You wouldn't steal a pirate.
Sorry.
Slow you wouldn't steal my grog. You better not.
You wouldn't steal my nuts. Wait, what?
Arr. Stealing me nuts, speed.
Stealing my nuts.
There was the one that I really liked the look of, which... Well, there's two that I really liked the look of. There's Animal Well, which we've spoken about before. That's the one coming from Big Mode.
Yes, that was in the sort of short summary.
That was buried in the short montage, of upcoming games. But the one that I liked the look of, I believe it was Shim, was that right?
That I played years ago at an event somewhere. And it's been in development for years. Like, I quite liked what I played, but I thought that came out... If you told me that came out 2-3 years ago, I would have believed you.
Tim, it came out 2-3 years ago.
Okay, good.
See? He's true to his word. True to his word.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
But yes, this one looks interesting. Beautiful looking retro kind of world. You play... It looks like a shadow fish. So you hop around in the shadows. As if they were like pools of water. I thought frog by the shape, but then when I look closer, it looks like it might more be a fish.
Think it's a
I
frog.
Don't know.
I will
maybe
bet
it's
you,
a frog.
I will bet you.
It kind of hops like a frog.
It's got two legs.
That's fair enough.
And
oh,
on the
lily
video,
pads.
There's
yeah,
lily pads.
Probably could. That's fair. Okay,
it's
frog.
A frog.
Okay. Okay.
Frog. Yep, okay. Yep. I would have thought you liked
Jim Shimmer, who's got the keys to my bimmer.
Buzzed one. That looked like a platformer that might be.
Oh, the platformer with the robot.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I looked at the trailer that earlier. I managed to find the full trailers to everything, but I wasn't. I know it's colorful, but it's more like that Mega Man style of platformer that I don't really get along with.
Okay.
I like hard platformers, but for some reason I just can't click with the Mega Man style. And it is basically Mega Man with other different retro games thrown in.
It's kind of like it looks like if Super Meat Boy and Mega Man had a baby, what it would look like.
A little bit of Strider thrown in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I will like it. I think there might be a demo for this. I'll check this out when we're off the mic. Nice.
I'm really glad you invite me into these conversations you have with yourself sometimes.
You're welcome.
Should I get the demo? I think I'll get the demo. I'll download the demo. That's how I'll know I like it. Yes, I think that's how I'll do it. I don't want to spend money on this.
May I remind you that I've had very little sleep and I've been up for a while.
I don't know if I should be interested in Stitch. I kind of feel like I shouldn't be because it looked like crocheting, but it kind of looked a bit.
It is.
It's all right to like crocheting.
Yeah, but it might be a bit of a kind of puzzle game with a bit of.
I think this has been on iOS.
Like a mathematical.
Yes, it
kind
has.
Of puzzle
it's been ported
it well.
From iOS.
Okay. Yeah, I'm intrigued, but I don't know if I care.
It's that kind of, I think it's that idea of like coloring books for adults. It's a thing to de-stress with.
Meant to be mindful.
Yeah, as much as I like unpacking, I think this is too simplistic for me.
Yeah.
But yeah,
we had a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle game as well, which roguelike.
We did, which is,
kind of
we seem to be getting a lot of Turtles games.
Yeah, I'm not sure why that is.
That arcade style one.
Because Shredder's Revenge came out.
Revenge came out. It did really, really well. It sold well. It reviewed really well. So now they're just like, we've got a new arcade style game coming out. We've got the Cowabunga collection of the old retro games. There's this one announced. I think there's a tie-in to the movie game that's in the works. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. Or already came out. There's a lot of Turtle stuff.
But there's also probably the fact that chaps of our generation are all about to enter a midlife crisis and want to relive their youth, and Ninja Turtles is a core part of that, probably.
It could just be Nickelodeon going, don't look over there, look over here at the turtles. Ignore anything else you may have heard about.
This
look at the turtles,
true.
Guys.
Very, very true.
I do like the look of this, though. It looked interesting. Roguelike.
Yeah.
Could work.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Let's leave it at that and wrap up the show.
Wrap it up. So if we're going to wrap it up, the one thing you should wrap up yourself with is things with my face on it. That's what you should do. You buy those clothes, wrap yourself in them. They've got my face on them, and you can only get things with my face on it. That's right. I have entered into an exclusive partnership with tpublic.com/store/BRB. To monetize my face.
Yeah.
My face.
None of this is
my
true.
Face
available.
On you at tpublic.com/store/BRB.
Do you like Dan's face? Would you like it on your clothing and or apparel and or masks and or cups?
Yes,
then
please.
Then go to tpublic.com/store/BRB for Dan's face and maybe some Big Red Barrel products.
Yep.
Dan's a fantastic man.
Exactly. tpublic.com/store/BRB. Thank you.
Yes.
Tim?
Mm-hmm.
Spot test.
Yep.
What day comes between Monday and Wednesday?
Thursday.
Is it Thursday?
Wrong answer. What are you doing on
Monday
Tuesday?
Monday 2.
Yes, Monday 2 Electric Boogaloo. What are you doing on tabletop Monday 2 Electric Boogaloo?
Massaging a politician in a back alley in Soho.
Each and every Tuesday, we do an event called Tabletop Tuesday at the Loading Bar in Stoke Newington. Wanted to mention, last week we had pretty much a full house. Not quite every seat taken, but every table with people playing board games. Also had a compliment from new person and an existing person. There was just a really nice atmosphere as well. Which I have to say, it really was. So thank you for everyone that came along and made that event really cool. We've been having some really good events and some really good games, and this coming week should be no exception to that either. So if anyone doesn't know, what we do each Tuesday is we have a different feature game. If you play that feature game that evening, you have a chance of winning a copy of the game at the end of the evening. Last week's feature game was a game called Ancient Knowledge. This week's feature game is Lord of the Rings, the adventure book game. So this is a kind of game where the board is a book that takes you through different chapters and your characters are moving across the pages of the book, and that kind of guides you through the story of what's happening and what's going on. It kind of recreates the story from the original books and the movies. So your hobbits is taking the ring, the One Ring, to be destroyed in the fires of Mordor. So yeah, you're kind of like, it's taking you through that kind of story. But yeah, like these games have already been popular. People have already taken them along to Tabletop Tuesday. So I know this is going to be liked by the crowd of people that's there. It should make for a popular evening. I think we've already got a copy in the bar, so we should have three copies possibly going around. But yeah, it does mean that, yeah, should be a good one to come along and play. If you're interested, you can check out more details on the top left-hand corner of bigredbarrel.com. There'll be more details there. Or you can join our meetup group, the over 2,100 plus, I think it's 2,000, nearly 2,140 members on our meetup group. Search for Tabletop Tuesday on meetup.com. Or just come along to the Loading Bar in Stoke Newington this coming Tuesday, the 23rd. I believe it's St. George's Day as well. So I don't know, there's a dragon for us to fight. But, you know, it's almost thematically correct kind of thing.
Okay.
You know, Lord of the Rings.
No, St. George's Day. Not Burns Night.
Yeah.
I have realised I don't have any Lord of the Rings sound effect, so...
God, what a... Oh, God. That'll do. That'll do.
If you have enjoyed this show, then
I haven't.
You're a very weird chap, but we love you all the same. Did you know we have a website? It's called bigredbarrel.com. Over there, we keep our podcasts, we keep our posts, we keep all the kinds of things you might like to enjoy. And we also have links to things like Discord, where you can go and talk to us. We also have a Facebook, an X, and a Threads at Big Red Barrel. And we also have a YouTube that you might be watching on us. You might be watching us on, but if you're not, you should, because you can see our faces, you can see the footage for the things we're talking about. You can talk to us, leave us comments, like the video, subscribe, ring a bell that tells you whenever a video is going live or has gone live, all that kind of stuff. And then when we start streaming out more public kind of ways, it will notify you when that's about to happen as well.
Lord, so that's nice.
You should do those things. There will be links available in this here episode's show notes. So whatever platform you're listening on, scroll down, take a look at the description. Right at the bottom, there'll be links to all those social media things and anything we might deem notable for you to check out as well. So, for instance, like the Nintendo Direct Indie World Showcase that we were talking about, there'll be a link to that in the show notes if you want to check that out. Also, give us a review on whatever podcast platform you're listening to us. It usually gets back to us. I think Podcast Addict is the only one that doesn't get back to us because they blocked us. Cheers, guys. Yeah.
Why?
Because they have terms and services that say, hey, don't scrape our website reviews.
All right,
and I did not know that. Whoops. And now I know.
Okay. Ah. Sorry.
They blocked my feed that was scraping, which is fine. Wow. I guess, okay. They didn't remove our podcast. That's the important thing.
That's okay. The important thing.
Yes.
Just also mentioned that WASD is coming up next week. So myself and Coleman are hopefully planning to go along. I think
hopefully.
I might not be able to make it on any day but the Saturday, but I believe it's the Thursday, Friday, Saturday as it was last year. I haven't actually double checked that's the case, but I assume so. But we will have another show before then, but I thought I'd just give people a bit more warning. That is in London, so if you're London-based or can get to London, that might be a good show to possibly attend.
Shall we wrap up?
Yes, let's wrap up. So thank you so much. Thank you so much for listening. You should go and do all the things that Colvin said you should do. There's lots of links. Go visit them. Have fun. Do whatever you want. You be you. Live your best life. But also... tune in next week as well, because we're going to do another show. We're going to go to all that really See you later, toodaloo, bye. No, what actually remains for us to do is just to remind you.
Don't you,
you
bring
that,
him into this.
Sorry. It's to remind you that
Sweet
I have been
Jesus.
Dan.
I might have been Tim.
I have been escaping the vault for the first time, and the sunlight burns my eyes.
Yeah, Coleman is sleep deprived. Coleman is.
yes.
We'll be back next week. Thank you for downloading us and for putting us in your ear holes. So until next time, dear listeners, toodle bye.
You're special. You're special. Ah. You're special.
Oh, so special.
S-P-E-C-I-A-L.
Well, Val, you're quite swell. Well.
You and your ears are quite welcome.
For the podcasting goodness that you just heard.
Why not roll on over
to BigRedBarrel.com
for more podcasts,
news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.